Welcome to the St. Michael Weekly Meditations. My name is Tim Smith, and I will be leading our meditations today. Our theme this Easter is blessing. Once you've been transformed by God's love, you can't help but to share that love with others. This Easter, let's learn how to bless one another by sharing the grace and love of Christ with our friends and neighbors. Joining Christians everywhere during this Easter season, we proclaim with joy, Alleluia, the Lord is risen indeed. Come, let us adore him. Alleluia. A reading from Exodus 15, verses 1 to 21. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue and I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, and working wonders? You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people that you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling, and the people of the Canaan will melt away. Here ends the reading. The Hebrew slaves desperately wanted relief from their lives of misery. They cried out to God to deliver them, and God responded by sending Moses to speak to Pharaoh on their behalf. God's message was succinct and clear. Let my people go. When Pharaoh put obstacle after obstacle in the path of Moses' request, God first warned Pharaoh and then sent one plague after another as his resistance only grew. That culminated in the death of Pharaoh's own son, which finally broke his will and convinced him to set the Hebrews free, but at great personal cost. The escape route the Hebrews took out of Egypt is described in some detail in the book of Exodus because it was selected for a reason. They began their journey in the eastern delta of the Nile River, the same region where Joseph first settled his father, brothers, and their families. Then they moved on to Succoth, located on the eastern edge of the Nile Delta. God then directed them to a body of water called the Red Sea that would have to be crossed if they were to leave Egypt in Pharaoh's control. This placed them on the farthest reaches of Egypt's fortified frontier. With the Egyptian army in pursuit and the Hebrew slaves with their back against the water, the Egyptians thought Moses and the slaves were trapped with no escape. In reality, God's route was designed to get the Hebrews out of Egypt and away from Egyptian control. God miraculously opened the Red Sea, allowing the Israelites to flee Egypt, and then he quickly crossed the waters on the pursuing Egyptians. God did it this way for a reason. Only God, the Lord Almighty, would be recognized as the deliverer of the Hebrew people. In fact, for centuries to come, nations of the world would hear of the power of the God of Israel because of what he had done in this miraculous crossing of the Red Sea. And every generation of the Israelites since has retold this story through the celebration of the Passover, a reminder that they had not only been delivered, but were freed for a purpose, to be God's chosen people and a light unto the nations, calling all to Him. This reminds us that God never just delivers us from something, but God always delivers us for something. Israel's deliverance also served another purpose. It would give them assurance, faith, and hope whenever they encountered future struggles, of which there would be many. When has God delivered you? I pastored in the Louisiana Conference of the United Methodist Church for almost 30 years. I had served on almost every major committee or board of the conference, including the Episcopacy Committee, which is the supervisory committee for the bishop. In my last few years, though, I had seen a number of colleagues either leave or retire early. And over time, I too realized I could no longer serve under that bishop. I was eventually faced with the most arduous and painstaking decision of my life: stay or leave and take a new untold path. Even though I'm born and bred Methodist, the son of a Methodist pastor, and was an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church for almost 3 decades, under the consultation with many, I made the decision to leave. I had no plans or opportunities on the horizon, and now I was all alone, separated from parishioners, colleagues, and the only denomination I had ever known. I entered into an intense time of prayer and study. Every day I woke up at my normal time as if I was at work, and then I went to work praying and studying as if I was still pastoring a church and readying myself for Sunday worship and formation. But I was all alone, and as each day passed, fear started setting in. Bills had to be paid, and I needed a place to continue to serve God. Sleepless nights came frequently as worry proliferated. Then I met another pastor on staff at a megachurch some 20 miles away, and he invited me to join his small group, which met at 6:30 in the morning. That provided a community of faith and support for me. But still, I had no clarity on what I was supposed to do or where my path would lead. It was frightening, and the pressure was crushing. Less than 2 weeks after my decision, my wife received a call that eventually led to an offer for a promotion, the type of promotion that you don't turn down. That brought us to Dallas, the second time I've lived here, with the first being in seminary at SMU. I found a large church in Arlington to serve on staff and help the senior pastor, and that eventually led me to St. Michael. The timing of the move to Dallas was serendipitous in the least, but more likely providential. God had indeed delivered me. From the story of Exodus, we not only learn that God has the power to deliver, but that God can deliver us too. God has many different ways of delivering, and sometimes they may not be what we expect. From the book of Exodus, we can see several ways God delivered the Hebrew people and can deliver us too. First is through the softening of your heart to hear the message of another, like God did for the Hebrew people and Moses. Second is softening others' hearts, leading to mercy, like He did for Bithia, Pharaoh's daughter, toward a Hebrew baby. Third is deliverance from physical, mental, and emotional suffering, like He did for the Hebrew people. Fourth is providing a way to escape from a temptation or even a threat, like He did at the Red Sea. Fifth is inspiring others to help you, like He did with Moses returning to Egypt and confronting Pharaoh. Sixth is inspiring a solution, like He did with Moses when Jethro implored Him to raise up others who could judge the disputes of the people. And lastly is through miracles, like when God provided water and manna in the wilderness. You see, this is why the Hebrews sing of God in our scripture lesson today. Our God is a deliverer and has the power to deliver you from your problems, your trials, and your difficulties. As we experience moments of His deliverance in our lives, it increases our faith in God and its ultimate power, enabling us to face future challenges, especially when doing the work of God, It also increases our trust in God, because as the Israelites came to understand, God is what God does. When is the time God has delivered you? Like the Israelites in our scripture lesson today, recall that time and sing a song of remembrance and thanksgiving, drawing strength and faith for the path that lies ahead. Or today, if you need deliverance, call out to God, like the Hebrew people, asking for His grace, strength, perseverance, and deliverance in this time of your life, and patiently wait for God to act. Remembering that the waiting time can be our time of greatest spiritual growth. Remember, God is what God does. God has delivered His people before, and God can do it again. Amen. Please join me as we continue with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in our lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.